Wednesday, March the 20th. Apparently I had reached the end of my physical tolerance for loss of sleep. I woke in Lennon's room at 7:15, stumbled into mine and into bed, and did not open my eyes again until 10:20. Oh, blissful gift from the gods, if only I could give it to Lyndon. So I was ready for a busy day on this first day of spring, put on my yellow Jeffrey Dean suit that Lyndon had given me for Christmas, and close to 11:30 went out on the grounds with Lyndon to greet the president of Paraguay, General Stroessner. I remembered Lyndon had liked him particularly among all the chiefs of state he had met at Punta del Este. He emerged from the big black car, tall, sodded-looking, assured, but affable man, sandy-haired and very freckled, regrettably no English. There was one charming difference in this now familiar but always dramatic arrival ceremony. When the band struck up the national anthem of Paraguay, there was first a soaring, call-to-arms sort of phase, and then it went into a sad mood, and about that time I realized that all around me, particularly on my right, where the nationals of Paraguay were lined up, there was a humming that rose to a singing, spontaneous, natural. I wish that in all the four corners of the globe, we reacted to the Star-Spangled Banner that way. And then it went into a gay phase with a louder, more buoyant singing. Back in the diplomatic reception room, we had the little receiving line, and then we looked up, and there were Lucy and Patrick and Baby, who came over and were introduced to General Stroessner. Lyndon took the chief of state away to his office for talks, and I went back up to my desk, where the ugly headlines of the day still awaited me, unchanged by the pleasant beginning. Howard. Howard closes down in protest. Britons face new tax bite, wage control. Conscience of a deserter. Who ever thought I would live to see the day when a deserter became a sort of folk hero? One happy note, a big picture of President Truman. Truman supports Johnson, and his answers were straightforward, salty, sharp, and very positive. I recorded and worked on the mail with Marilyn, signing an innumerable stack of pictures, which I call my idiot work. Marilyn looked at me with just a shade of disapproval, but it makes a lot of people happy. Talked to Jake about a problem letter from our district, a proposed dump near St. Luke's on the lake, and with John Walker about the wonderful loan of Daniel Boone escorting pioneers into the Western country, a Bingham. It's only a loan I shall write the most grateful acceptance. Lucy brought Lynn in, and he made his contribution to the humor of the day by dropping a full roll of toilet paper into the Johnny, which he has just discovered as a very delightful place to play. I had lunch on a tray, sometime during the afternoon called our house guests, Zach Lince's and Sam Lowe's and the Ed Ray's, to welcome them and get them settled, which actually Marilyn always does at once and very well. Spent the rest of the afternoon working at my desk, met with Jim Ketchum and Carter Brown, about a frame for Arturito. Now that my dearly beloved Mary Cassatt is no longer above the mantle, it's returned to the Smithsonian to the fine arts, which will open in May. The place is empty, and Arturito should really be reframed. Even if he only lives with me in this room for another 8 months or so, because he now belongs to us. Carter was very helpful. We decided on something that I think will be fine. I think of the lovely Mary Cassatt. Nothing will ever replace it, really. And hope that I'm not one of those people who, because someone has given me something for 3 or 4 years, is hurt when they withdraw it. I must only remember the time I had it, and what a joy it was. Jean-Louis arrived, and I had a formal hairdo, put on my yellow chiffon, which floats over an eastern fabric, and had some pictures made. Since time is fleeting, and so is my residence here, and these very talented photographers, I want to accumulate 5 or 6 good pictures of me in evening dresses. So, before each state dinner, I shall try. I've been remiss. I'm still giving out pictures made in 64 and 65. Lyndon wore his Paraguayan shirt, and we were on the North Portico in the brilliant light of the cameras a little past 8 to meet President Stroessner, who arrived with his 2 sons, Gustavo and Alfredo, and we went up to the Yellow Room with our Minister of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Pastor, and about 3 other members of his party. Hubert and Muriel, Abulian as always, were there. And Virginia, without the secretary, that dauntless soldier, had gone home with a headache, and I was glad for once that he succumbed to something physical that hurt him and didn't just tough it out. The presence of family, his 2 sons, and Lucy and Pat, made it a warmer occasion, and among our gifts to him was a cowboy suit identical to Len's for his grandson, almost the same age, and a chess set like John Quincy Adams, which is in the Smithsonian, the Accuton desk clock that we use so much, and for Mrs. Stroessner, who was not with him, West Virginia crystal like we use in the White House. He was very appreciative throughout. In fact, I don't remember a chief of state who seemed more pleased, more impressed to be here. I was aware that we had invited him against the background of whispering and snide remarks from the super intellectuals who call him a dictator. So I saw with a cheer the Evening Star's editorial, which refers to his staunch friendship for the United States in Cuba and in the Dominican Republic, in fact, wherever needed. And this considerably flavored the conversation that passed between him and Lyndon. He had brought us some beautiful linens for me and the girls, the handwork of his country, and some leather stools, elaborately tooled. I think one of them can serve both as a stool and a library step in our new sitting room at the ranch. We lined up as a threesome to go down behind the color guards, and I think I felt the military man's approving and impressed reaction to the really stirring ceremony following those fine young soldiers down the great corridor to the tune of Hail to the Chief. This was, of course, a one-room dinner, 140. Brennan's represented the Supreme Court, and from the cabinet, the Cliffords and C.R. Smith. The senators were Burke Hickenlooper and Bartlett of Alaska and Howard Cannon of Nevada. And we are getting so many regrets from governors these days. I think I shall discuss with Price not inviting anymore. In fact, with the revved up heat of a campaign year and the excruciating ordeal of the war, the number of declines on the list is getting more and more obvious. The Covey Olivers were helped throughout. Excellent Spanish, long knowledge of the whole continent, and gay, happy personality. There were two astronauts, Armstrong and Gordon, from the entertainment world, Howard Mitchell, and I made a point of telling him how proud I was that one of his protégés had composed a beautiful piece of music under a grant from the National Council of the Arts. Martha Ray, who has entertained the troops so many times. And there were two other members of our guests of honor's family who are citizens of our country. A cousin from Colorado, Mr. Robert Stroessner, and a nephew, which to me added to the grace of the evening, feeling that it was planned for him.